I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio is on play.in.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 694, and I'm here with the one and only Paris Lilly. By the way, this is your host, Danny. Paris, what's up, man? This is a big, big show today, man.
Yeah, this is a huge show. It's something that I've really been looking forward to talking about for the past week or so. Just not being able to get this information out there has been killing me. But just to cut to the chase, last week I went up to Seattle. I went to Bellevue, Washington, and I was at Bungie for 3 days, and I got to play Destiny 2. And I can talk about some of it today, not everything, but I just want to first and foremost thank Activision because they flew me up to Washington. They paid for all my accommodations while I was there. So just thank you to Activision and thank you to Bungie for being great hosts while I was up there.
And if you hear people in the background, it's because we're live here in LA, Anaheim exactly. We're at Podcast Movement 2017. We came here because we got nominated for the awards, the Canary Podcast Awards happening tonight. So we're here to just hang out and stuff, and then I have to fly back to Miami. But today, this episode is only going to be about Destiny 2, and I know there's certain things you can't talk about just yet. So where you want to start? Like, where you want to start off? Which one? Which part?
Okay, so like I said, I got hands-on with Destiny 2, so just to kind of give you guys background and everything, I can only talk about the European Dead Zone today. I can't get into specifics about weapons and infusion and story campaign, none of that stuff right now. I'm only specifically talking about my experiences in the European Dead Zone. And just to give you guys context, I had about a good 15 hours of gameplay in Destiny 2 last week. So I've seen and done a lot more than I can talk about today, but we'll get into that more down the road. So first and foremost, European Dead Zone, this is literally the biggest environment that Bungie has ever made in any game they've ever done. Destiny, Halo, etc. I guess it to be about double the size of the Cosmodrome from Destiny 1 to kind of give people context. Even if you add in the Rise of Iron Cosmodrome, I would still say that's probably only about 75% of the size of what the European Dead Zone is. European Dead Zone environment is, it's this big forest area. There's like this old European, like kind of cathedral church areas that are there. The Cabal have their built-in structures that they put in there. And like I said, it's vast. It's very diverse. There's a lot of cave structures, tunnel structures that you'll be able to go to. It's freaking huge. Like I said, there's no way I saw all of it while I was playing, and I got to play a lot and I got to see a lot in that area. But again, it was huge and vast. So the other thing, the enemies that I saw while I was in the European Dead Zone, the Fallen, there's a new House of the Fallen that has taken residence up in there. Their fighting style is actually different than what the Fallen that you would have seen in Destiny 1 or even like the Siva Fallen that you saw in Rise of Iron. Like, for example, some of the Vandals, they'll actually get on all fours and come at you like a spider, you know, it's like run up on you. The dregs will actually start taking cover. The captains, they're just very aggressive in this version of the Fallen that we see in European Dead Zone. The Cabal, obviously, the Red Legion, they have a heavy presence in the European Dead Zone. You're going to see your Legionnaires. You're going to see your Scions. You're going to see some of the higher tier, and I'm blanking on a name, I apologize. But, you know, a lot of the Cabal enemies that we saw in the Destiny 2 beta obviously show up in the European Dead Zone as well. But some of the battles are just ridiculously intense with those guys. The Taken are actually in the European Dead Zone as well. I saw them a few times in some public events that I did, but didn't see any Vex, and I didn't see any Hive. They may or may not show up elsewhere in the game, but they're definitely not in the European Dead Zone. So that pretty much covers it for the enemy types. Some of the things that you can do in Destiny 2 in the European Dead Zone, probably my favorite thing is adventures. And I'm going to bring Danny into the conversation because he's just like sitting back like, wow, he's just going. But so what do you know about adventures from Destiny 2?
I really don't know anything.
All right. Well, then I'm going to explain adventures to you then. So adventures, what I originally thought was adventures was taking the place of patrols in Destiny 2. But actually, you know, patrols will make an appearance. We can talk about patrols, excuse me, later, but we can't talk about them right now. But adventures are these 10 to 15 minute stories that you can do in the open world. Like when you look at your destination map, you'll see an icon for it. You just simply travel over to it, select that adventure, and that'll kick off this story. And what it's doing is actually taking the place of the Grimoire cards from Destiny 1, where it's kind of giving you some additional story elements and lore within the Destiny universe as you do this story. Like I said, it'll take about 10, 15 minutes. It's fully voice acted when you're doing it. Like I said, some top-notch stuff in there. A lot of fun. Eventually, you'll do different objectives, and then you'll get to like a final boss or something like that. And once you complete it, story's over. You'll get some loot from it, and then you can move on to do whatever the next thing. But here's the cool thing about adventures: it happens real time in the open world. So I can select an adventure. Say a public event kicks off while I'm on my adventure. I can go do public event, do that whole thing, get my loot from it. Boom, I'm right back into the adventure. High-value targets could come after me while I'm doing the adventure. You'll see these dregs on pikes going around the area. They might come in. I could see a lost sector while I'm doing it. I could go do that. Anything that's available in the open world, you can do while you're on that adventure, which makes it really cool because you're not stuck to just doing that. You don't have load screens or anything. Like, you don't spawn into a restricted zone or anything like that. So that's adventures. Now, I'm going to get to public events in just a second, but I'm going to skip that, and I'm going to go to Lost Sectors. Lost Sectors is another thing that you're going to see on your destination map where you can't select it. It's just like an icon, so you kind of have to go search for it. You'll see, like, the Lost Sector symbol, like, painted on a wall or on a rock or on a building or something, and that'll let you know there's an opening or a cave entrance somewhere in that area. So you got to go search it out. Once you search it out, you can then go in that cave, and then usually you're like descending down into like a tunnel structure or a cave structure, and you're going to find enemies along the way, and then eventually you're going to get to a boss. So you're going to see a boss. He's going to have a key, and there's going to be a chest around there somewhere. You defeat the boss, you get the key, and then you take out the rest of the enemies, and you can open that chest down there, and it's going to have loot in it. You know, there's no like story information or voice acting. It's just simple. Find the opening, go in there, fight some guys, defeat the boss, get the loot, get out. And there's lost sectors scattered all throughout the destination map while you're playing. So along with that, there's also this thing called regional treasure chests that are scattered around the map as well. And you'll see them on the destination map. Again, you got to search them out, find out where the chest is, and then you can find it. Again, there's going to be loot and things like that as well. So does this making sense to you?
Yes, and I have a couple questions about, you said this map, this area is one of the biggest ones that Bungie, the biggest. Okay, so when you say the biggest, is this is more of just the map, or is also including underground too, right?
Yeah, when I say the biggest, I'm including underground, because like there's a lot of underground tunnels and structures and things that you're going to be able to go to in as well. Not just the overworld or the forest and like the cathedral area and all that, or like the Cabal base. There's more to it than just that. That's why I say it is huge. And there's absolutely no way I saw everything. Like, as an example, early on in the game, you don't have your Sparrow. So you're kind of walking to try and get everywhere, and it's going to take you a while to get to places. One good thing, which you actually lead me into, is now that there's landing zones in the areas, in the destination map. So Destiny 1, you just load into one area and then you got to go to wherever you're going to go. Now, like European Dead Zone has three distinct areas that you can load into. So if I see a public event that's about to start, which let me sidetrack into that. Another cool thing about the public events is when you see them on the destination map, they have a timer on them. So you're like, oh, this public event's about to start in 2 minutes. All right, I'm gonna go to this landing zone so I can get to that public event in time. Or once I'm done with that, I don't have to go back to orbit. I can just go to the destination map. I can see, oh, this other activity. I want to go try and find this lost sector on the other side of the map. I can fast travel to that other landing zone and go there. One thing that they've done with the fire teams is if I'm the fire team leader and I decide to fast travel to another area in the European Dead Zone, I don't pull my fire team with me. They have to also decide to want to fast travel there. So we could literally be completely spread around the map as a fire team if we so choose. We're not forced to stay together. So that leads me into public events. So I've been holding off on this because this is one of the unique things that they've done in Destiny 2. So we all remember public events from the first one. You know, it's like this quick little thing you could do, you know, it's almost like a thing where they want to get everyone that's currently, you know, in the world together to go fight whatever. So that's similar to that. But what they've done now is, like I said, you have the added timers of knowing when a public event is going to kick off. And there's also a more complicated mechanic to the public events. They varied them now. So as an example, there's one with a big giant servitor. And when you come into the public event, you see the giant servitor, you fight him. He also has like two smaller servitors with him. They can put a shield around him and make him immune. So if you take these two smaller servitors out quick enough, you can enact a heroic public event. And when you enact a heroic public event, all hell breaks loose. Everybody's coming. Fallen, Cabal, just all kinds of stuff. I mean, and you're going to need everyone that's around in the area to come in and contribute because it's very hard. But the thing is, with a regular public event, yeah, you get some loot or whatever. That's cool. But the heroic public event, you have the potential to get Nightfall tier type of loot from that by completing it. So it's kind of a two-tier thing. You have to understand the mechanic of the public event, solve it quick enough to then kick off the heroic public event, and then you need to defeat the heroic public event in enough time to get that higher tier loot. One of my favorite public events happened to be... yeah, we got people walking around us. One of my favorite public events was one with the Cabal where they had like this drill that comes in from space, like a big ship comes in and it drops in from space. In some of my YouTube videos, you can actually see this gameplay. And they put up this big force field around it, and you only have so much time inside the force field to fight enemies. If not, all of a sudden it turns on and it starts to drain your health, and you got to get out, come back in, that whole thing. And then like these big giant Cabal bosses come in there too, and you're fighting them. And I mean, dude, it is just absolute chaos when you're doing that. It's a lot of fun.
So I know you mentioned that the one thing that you haven't really been talking about is when you were playing this and doing a public event where it was just you and somebody else, you had a big group, or was it everybody that got invited was part of that public event?
Okay, and I'm going to call this guy out just a second. So at the play event, we all had assigned seating. So they had three people together, you know, assigned. So it was me and Dave from PlayStation Nation, which if you watch my videos, you'll see him in there with me, you know, playing a lot together. But it's supposed to be a three-man fire team. So I won't say his name, but a certain reporter from Engadget was with us, and he wouldn't play with us because he didn't really know Destiny. And he's like, you guys are too good. I'm just going to go solo. So when you see my footage, it's just two of us for the most of the time. But with that said, yeah, a lot of the stuff we did, just two-man. But the public event stuff, you'll see other people that are in the world, because even though we were in our own fire teams, we were all on the same server. So you would see other people at the event coming in and they would be helping us too. Trust me, in heroic public event stuff, you had to have more people. There's no way we could have two-manned it because it's that hard. But going back to the public event stuff. So that's, like I said, it's a very fun activity. They definitely upped their game from what it was in Destiny 1, and it feels more varied, and it feels more like you need to work together as a group. Which brings me to the next point, flashpoints. Flashpoints is what Bungie has decided they're going to do as a weekly event that's going to happen on different planets. Cade is kind of going to be your quest giver for this, and it's a way to get everyone to come to one planet to complete these activities. And what a flashpoint is, you're going to be doing all these different public events, and it's like a quest that you have to complete, because when you defeat so many, you'll complete the flashpoint. And it's like I said, this world event with a world boss at the end. And then once you complete that, I mean, again, you're going to get all this big loot, but it's a thing to encourage more people to work together as a team that aren't necessarily on a fire team together. It's to, you know, that whole communicating without actually talking to the person kind of thing in a public space. So that was a lot of fun. I actually have that on video as well. I kind of talked about the high value targets already a little bit. There's a lot of scannable things in the environment with your ghosts, which is going to give you, again, more story, more lore and everything. Because like I said, the biggest thing that Bungie talked about with us was they don't want you to leave the game to experience the game. They want you to do everything in game. Now, I can't talk about guided games or any of that stuff right now, but that's the whole point of adventures, having the voice acting and the story elements in it, the scannable environments, having voice acting with that as well, because they want to tell the complete story of Destiny inside of Destiny. You should never have to leave the game to find out more about the game.
And honestly, as a person that is not a, a crazy hardcore Destiny guy, it sounds pretty cool, like all the stuff that you've been explaining. And exactly, I think a week or two ago, we were having a conversation with a game director of Assassin's Creed. And I mentioned one of the things that I kind of liked from the past games was us like giving reviews of like the missions and stuff. And one of the things that he said, he was saying that the reason why they removed it from the game because they don't want people to stop that experience that they've been having in the story. So it's kind of similar to that with Destiny, because one of the things that I had an issue with Destiny is you get out, it's like loading time, you gotta wait, it's like, but it feels like this one is like, it's all in the same game, less loading time and everything compared to the first one, right?
Okay, now I'm gonna just, I need to pick up these names that I'm about to drop, so. When I had a chance to talk with Luke Smith and Mark Noseworthy at the event, that was Luke kept pounding the fact over and over. They want to get you to the fun quicker. I look at everything that I saw in the European Dead Zone as quality of life changes. They want to get you into the action quicker. That's why you don't have to go to orbit anymore. That's why there's multiple landing zones. That's why you can fast travel now. That's why there's timers on the public events. That's why they have these adventures scattered around everywhere. That's why there's the treasure hunt stuff everywhere, things like that, because they want you to be able to play the game quicker. We're about to, I think, order another drink, but I'm just going to keep it going. So one other thing that I didn't talk about yet is every planet has their own NPC character. And for European Dead Zone, that NPC character is Devrin K. You've probably seen him in some of the trailers. He's the guy that's sitting in the top of the church with a sniper rifle. So without going too in-depth, because we'll talk about some of this stuff later, he's kind of the quote unquote faction person for that planet, because you'll get these tokens called EDZ tokens while you complete various activities in a European Dead Zone. You can take these tokens to him, redeem them with him, and basically build up experience point, rank up, and you're going to be able to get engrams and various gear from him. He sells some low-level common green gear as well, so early on in the game, he's a valuable resource to, you know, to rank up and do things like that. So again, he's fully voice acted as well. You'll hear him a lot in the adventures and some of the quests and other things that you'll do in a European Dead Zone as well. And again, it's another quality of life thing that they've done from Destiny 1 now going into Destiny 2, where overall, the European Dead Zone to me feels more alive. I feel like there's just so many things to do, whereas in Destiny 1, you know, you kind of went through the Cosmodrome and everything. I felt like after the first day, you almost felt like you did everything. Whereas this one, there's no way in hell I did everything. Absolutely no way.
And by them making this area huge, pretty big, there's a lot of things to do, but also to discover, and also probably like a lot of like items and stuff that you will get because of the stuff that you do in there, right?
And I'm sure I'm not breaking an NDA by saying this, so I'm gonna say it anyways. Well, I was having a casual conversation with Mark Noseworthy, and he even said, he goes, we got stuff in there that you don't even know about yet that's right in front of you, but you don't realize it. You know what I'm saying? He goes, there's definitely secrets and things in there that we don't know about yet. Again, I'm not going to get too in-depth with that kind of stuff right now because we'll talk about that closer to launch. But like I said, I could tell there's definitely more to a lot. Because like I, you know how you would look at something, you go, there's got to be more to this. But I'm like, wait, I'm at this event. I only got so much time. I'm not going to waste time on that. I'm going to go do some other stuff because I was trying to get some capture footage and everything. So go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask is when you got to this area, what was the first thing that you wanted to do? Because you have the freedom to go anywhere, to do whatever you want. So what was your first thing that you wanted to do in the game?
Well, I kind of had no choice on the first thing I wanted to do because as soon as I landed in there for the first time, public event dropped right in front of me. So it was all hell was breaking loose. So I was like, oh, pick up my gun and start shooting. But I think one of the first things we did after that was I know we visited Devrim K, the NPC. And then after that, we did a Lost Sector immediately because we saw one. So we're like, oh, let's go do the Lost Sector. So we did that. Then we went and did like an adventure and things like that. But, overall, man, look. I know I'm biased because you guys know you've heard me talking about this game for the past 3 years. Destiny Talk Radio, Deej has been on 10 million times. But this, for me, as a hardcore Destiny fan, felt very satisfying. I felt that this was the sequel that I wanted it to be. I felt like this got closer to what the original vision of Destiny is. And the waitress just does not want to serve us a drink. I don't know why. But this got closer to that original vision of Destiny for me. Trust me, there's so many more things that I want to tell you guys about that I can't talk about right now, but this was a lot of fun. Like I said, I should have 4 videos up on my YouTube channel where you can actually see an adventure in action. You'll be able to see a public event in action. Give me another one. You'll be able to see Lost Sectors in action. And then I have another video where, like, I'm kind of giving you my overall impressions now, where I'm giving my overall impressions along with gameplay and just a lot of different things in European Dead Zone going on. So, I have to be careful about what I talk about because I don't want to get in trouble saying too many things, but talked about the environment. We talked about some of the enemies. We talked about the adventures. We talked about Devrim K. We talked about public events. We talked about Lost Sectors. I talked about the regional treasure chests, flashpoints. Like I said, high value targets. I'll go into depth on that a little bit more. Those are just kind of some higher yellow bar enemies that are just randomly going to be out there in the environment. And like I said, they're funny because they love to stick their nose into things that aren't their business. You can be doing a public event. All of a sudden, high-value target wants to come in there, too. You can be doing an adventure. High-value target wants to come in there, too. You know, just things like that. You know, we had a scenario where we were doing a public event that was hard as hell. Finished that. We saw another guy struggling with a freaking spider tank that had dropped, so we went and helped him. And then this yellow bar servitor decided, well, I'm going to come over and see what y'all are doing, and we had to fight him, too.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Now, my question about the public events, how many people, like the most that you had that was involved in part of this public event that you got into, you remember?
I mean, hard to say exact. It had to have been at least 10 to 12 people at one point, I would say, that all converged on, especially when we were doing the Flashpoint stuff, which is like the world event stuff, because now everyone is kind of all trying to do the same thing at once. So you would see a lot of people converging on a public event together.
All right, cool. That sounds good. It got me very interesting now about the game because, like you said, there's so many things now to do. Now, what if you're by yourself, you don't have friends, and you're by yourself doing these exploring and stuff like that? Do you think you're going to feel like you need someone with you, or you're okay doing all this on your own?
I feel like you can do a lot of it on your own. It's obviously better to do it with a fire team, with friends. ask me more about that again on September 5th. I may be able to say some more things about being a solo player in Destiny 2. But they've definitely made it better for a solo player. I'll just say that.
Okay, cool. Anything else you want? Anything else that you could talk about today? Because I know it's a lot, and I know you have a lot of videos and stuff on YouTube, but go ahead.
Well, I'll just say this, kind of getting away from the game itself for just a second and just overall my trip being there. I mean, on a personal level, and you already know this, bucket list item for me to be able to go to Bungie. I mean, I've been a fan of Bungie games since Halo CE. You know, it's always been something that I've wanted to do, was to be able to tour that studio and see all the fun and just entertainment that they've damn near given me for 20 years at this point. Being able to visit that studio, you know, being able to sit down with a Luke Smith, a Mark Noseworthy, a Lars Bakken, you know, just talk to those guys, you know, talking to Deej about any and everything, you know, for the past 3 days, talking to Irk, all these guys that you may have seen in videos or on YouTube or whatever, or, you know, just know about because they've been creators of this game, being face to face with them and interacting with them, and not even necessarily talking about the game. It's talking about life, man. Talking about our kids, like me and Noseworthy, talking about hitting the gym and working out and all this kind of stuff, you know, was really cool. I mean, it's something I'll never forget, I'll tell you that. And I'm just saying that on a personal level. Like I said, you can call me biased, whatever, but I mean, that was, look, you remember, let me tell this story. I was in Cabo. And I'll never forget. I get the email. I'm in Cabo, and I just so happened to be checking my phone because we were in the room with my wife. And I go, oh my God, oh my God. I go, what? I go, they want me to go up to Bungie. Oh my God. So, and then I hit you up, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm on vacation now. I'm kind of working. And I call my boss. My boss was like, absolutely go, and the whole thing. And, you know, we made it happen. Because, you know, like I said, I got up there on a Monday night, and we got to play the game right away on Monday night for a couple hours, kind of the stuff that you saw in the beta and everything. And then they basically got us up past the beta stuff, ready to go to the European Dead Zone. And that's, all right, you can't play anymore. And then the next day, we literally just got to play all day. And then the third day, can I say this? I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it because I don't know. Then we did some other stuff. And then we, you know, and did all that. But it was a cool 3 days being up there. Absolutely.
And it seems like Bungie are very excited about this project. Very, very excited and happy. And I know usually when we go to events, you could tell that there's people behind us just checking out to see what we're doing. Maybe they want to see if we're going to discover stuff that maybe only they know. But the most important thing is they want to see our reaction while playing this game. To you, Paris, how happy was Bungie seeing everybody there playing this game that they've been working on now for like a couple of years?
It's funny you bring that up. It was a mixture of happiness, curiosity, and fear. Because this fear, because this is the first time they've given the game to the quote unquote press, to the public, like the game. Like I play the game. You know what I mean? There was no walls or anything. I could go do whatever I want. What you guys are going to play on September 6th, I played last week. That, and we'll talk about what I played later, but that's what I played. But yeah, there was an excitement as well because they're excited. They're proud about this game. But it's, you know, it's always a thing of you think what you got is great, but what does the other person think once you hand it over to them just untethered and they can go do whatever they want? So yeah, there was definitely a lot of curiosity. You saw a lot of Bungie employees coming in and out, kind of peeking over shoulders, seeing what we were doing, you know, hey, how you enjoying it? Got any questions? That kind of thing. I'll say this because I don't think he'll mind me saying this. So I'm talking to Luke the first night, and Luke, and I didn't even ask him. He volunteered this information to me. He told me that with the take, because, you know, him and Noseworthy led the Taken King, that expansion, right? That as much as people love the Taken King, there were things about the Taken King that they absolutely hated, that they weren't proud of. Let's put it that way. Not hated. Hate is a strong word. That they weren't proud of. you know, because obviously deadlines, you got to get it out. But he said with this one, he said Destiny 2 damn near broke him, but he plays that game every night. And he has a smile on his face every night that he plays. He goes, you wipe the characters out, you got to start from scratch, don't care, I want to go back and play. And, you know, he plays it with a smile. And I can say with great confidence, I had a dumb smile on my face for 3 days. And that's just the God honest truth.
Well, Paris, hold on a second. We got to talk about our sponsor, Western Digital. With WD, you're now able to get solid-state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a WD solid-state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speeds so you can boot your system quickly, load games and other applications in a snap. And by the way, I bet Paris now has been editing a lot of these Destiny 2 content. It's been loading like crazy, right? Super fast and a snap.
With a snap.
Awesome. Combine a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed videos, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for a limited time, Paris, for a limited time, I think this is a special code for Gamertag Radio listeners, right?
Yes, you can get 20% off using our code GTR. Or is it WDGTR?
It's WDGTR.
See, live read. I tried to wing it and I screwed it up. But that code, get 20% off using our code WDGTR. And trust me, this is totally worth it. Take advantage.
Take advantage. And for more information, go to their official website. Go to WD.com/GTR. One more time, Western Digital. Sponsor this. This is a limited time offer for Gamertag Radio listeners. Use this coupon code WDGTR. And for more information, head over to WD.com/GTR. Now, for someone like me, that I'm not like you, Pete, that you guys, you know, are really hardcore with this game, do you think it's going to bring me a smile too? Now, because, you know, I played the first one and I stopped after a while. You think this one is also going to get me all happy and smiling the whole time or what?
Here's what I have to say about that. And this is a God honest truth. If you played it on PlayStation with us, I could guarantee you'll have a smile on your face. Because part of what makes that game so great is us up in the party chat. And we, like me, Brian, Uriah, Khalid, Pete, all that, my son, we're all up in the party chat and it's just a laugh. We are just laughing all the evening. You need that crew on Xbox if you're going to play on Xbox, because I think part of the magic of Destiny is who you play with, not necessarily everything that you're doing. But I will say the content itself, there will be moments that are going to put a smile on your face because there's some epic moments in there as well. You know, look, I don't know nothing about the raid yet. Okay, let me tell this story. So, again, just to give you guys context of the environment I was in, I was there with, it was 90 media people. When I say media, these aren't your influencers, your streamers or YouTubers. Look, Bife wasn't there. More Console wasn't there. Mesa Sean, those kind of guys weren't there. Engadget was there. The Verge was there. You know, Polygon was there. Kotaku was there. Like, these are the people. IGN, like, Destin from IGN, coolest dude ever. Coolest dude ever. We had a great time together. We actually had a competition going. I can't talk about what it was about, but we had a competition going. It was great because they would be yelling, his fire team be yelling and screaming, oh, I got blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, well, we got blah, 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 too. You know, it was good. But we were playing with, like, straight-up journalists. So not everyone was a hardcore Destiny fan. Like I was telling you, of the 90 people that were there, and these are from all over the world journalists, of the 90 people that were there, I'd say 20 were hardcore. So the reason I bring that up is, so at one point while we're having lunch, one of the journalists goes, so like, are we going to do the raid later? And everyone just started laughing because it's like, there's no way we're playing the raid. They're not even going to talk about the raid, which they didn't. But like I said, it was a great experience. We had a lot of fun. And that's kind of the thing I want people to understand while I was playing. Trust me, they had to take the controller out of my hand the last day. That's how much fun I was having. And I'd probably still be playing it right now if I could, you know? Like, I joke with my son now since I come home. I was like, he's like, Dad, you want to play Destiny? I was like, I don't want to play Destiny no more, son. I'm done with that game. I've moved on to the next one. I've experienced the sweet sauce of the next one. I don't want to play Destiny anymore. But, yeah, it was a great time. And going back to your original question, yes, I think there'll be a smile on your face. You just got to get a crew to play with, I think, to make that happen. And they may or may not be doing some things in the game to kind of help you with that. But what do I know? Ask me again on September 5th.
Awesome. So, Paris, you said that you're going to have more information later next month, right? September 5th in a couple weeks. I get the vibe that I think this game is going to be very successful. Like, you know, when the game came out and a lot of the media people got a review copies, there was not a lot of stuff open available for everybody to play because they wanted everybody to get the same experience. Now, my question to you is, what made the decision for them to, yo, come to our studio? We want you to play everything. I don't want you to say what, but I'm just very curious why Bungie and Activision decided to do that, because I feel like the first game, maybe a lot of people didn't really understand the concept. And now that the first one already came out, a couple other expansion pack now, people do understand, but we want you to try this and plus more.
I mean, that's actually a really good question, because what I think happened is they've had the lessons learned of the launch in 2014, and they've had 3 years of feedback now. That's the one thing about Destiny that's unique from 90% of other games. The game that you'll play on September 6th will not be the game that you're playing 3 years from now. It will change. It will evolve. And you look at the original Destiny to what it is right now, it has evolved. So I think as a company, as a studio, they've evolved and they've realized if they want to get people back that may have picked the game up, like you, if they want to get you back, they need... It's just funny being an open area. People look at us. But if you want to get people back, you need to get the game into hands of people that understand Destiny, that can explain Destiny, and, you know, get, like, I'm explaining it to you right now, and you're intrigued, which I think is their point. Because they know, they freaking love the game. I freaking love the game, and I'm gonna talk about it, because I'm gonna talk about it from a point of knowing what I'm talking about, because I have experience. Like, they didn't have to explain nothing to me. I just picked up the controller and was gone. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have to sit down with me and go, okay, this is this and this is that. So this event, I think, was very smart for them to do, because you're getting it in the hands of the media and they can talk about it in a positive and a negative way. You know what I mean? It's not going to be all unicorns and rainbows. There might be a few things I'll talk about later that I'm not necessarily happy with. But overall, this was a smart thing, because you're not going to do the raid. That's not happening. You know, they don't want to spoil the raid. I wouldn't want the raid spoiled for me. You know what I mean? They want you to experience a lot of this stuff for yourself. So there's still a lot of things I've not seen. You know, there's a lot of things I have seen, but there's still some things out there that I don't know about. But... yeah, giving it to the press early is the right thing. The way Destiny is made, you can't just say, hey, go home and play it early, or you're only going to be playing with about 10 or 15 people in the world. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of got to wait till the public gets it so that you get the full, true experience of it. But getting this taste of it that I got, I feel educated enough about Destiny 2 that I can talk about it with confidence and know what I'm talking about, which I think ultimately is the goal that they needed to do.
Wow, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. And you could look. I wish we had a camera or we were streaming this on Twitch. Paris has been smiling since I pressed record, and we started having this conversation. You've been smiling because I feel like you play enough that you're happy what you have seen so far. You know, so the challenge, I think, is people like me. you know, right now I'm just very interested, very curious about the game. I just want to see it for myself once the game releases and I play this now for the first time with you guys or by myself too. So, you were going to say something?
No, I was going to say, and I understand that my opinion can be biased because I don't hide the fact that I love the game, that I play the game all the time, and I'm obviously very invested into that community, you know? So I understand someone could listen to what I'm saying. I was like, yeah, but that's Paris, though, man. He going to say it's good anyways. But for me, as being a quote-unquote super fan of the game, I came away happy, which I think, if anything, is a good thing because I'm and look, you know how I am with Xbox and all that stuff. I'm critical of the things that I love. If I don't like something, I'm going to tell you I don't freaking like it. And for the most part, I really like what I played. I'll say this. What I didn't like, I will talk about on September, in September at launch, because there are things I did not like about the game that I wish they didn't do. But that's not a part of the European Dead Zone, so I can't talk about it right now. But overall, I'm satisfied with what I've seen so far, for sure.
Anything else? I know you're planning to have a Q&A on our Twitch channel, right? You're going to share some footage and do Q&A with people that are there. Anything else besides this?
I'm going to be on Guardian Radio next week, you know, which is a big Destiny podcast. Those guys asked me to come on, so I'm going to come on. I'll have the same conversation I'm having right now where I'll be dancing around stuff that I can't talk about. But that'll be a lot of fun. Like you said, I'm thinking I want to do like a Q&A on Twitch. If you're listening to this right away when it comes out today, Thursday, August 24th, 7 p.m. tonight Pacific, I want to do on Twitch, I'm going to do a live Q&A. Just kind of, hey, have like one of the videos I got playing in the background and just ask me questions about Destiny 2. I'll answer what I can. What I can't, I won't answer.
I have a good question. Here's a good question. So you can't say what it is, but how much gameplay footage you have in total? At least that.
Over 3 hours. And I'd have more, but they wouldn't let me capture more. I got about 3 hours of capture footage.
Okay. Well, Paris, man, that was cool, man. I mean, what's next? What's your next goal now? After this, because you already visit Bungie, you got a tour. What's next? What's next that you think is going to be part of your bucket list in the future?
Oh, man. That's a good question. Visit Nintendo. Are they in Kyoto? They're in Kyoto. Nintendo. Yeah, in Kyoto. I think you're in Kyoto, Japan. Yeah, I would love to do that. You know, because I've met Miyamoto before, so... That's off the bucket list. Yeah, I mean, gaming bucket list. That actually was a good question. What else is left? I visited Bungie now. I've been to Microsoft. Yeah. Emma, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That, to me, that doesn't really have the history or anything behind it. So I'm like, oh, my God, I'm at PlayStation. You know what I mean? Yeah, Nintendo would be it. I would love to do that for sure. Absolutely.
All right, that's it. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And if you want, you can watch us live on Twitch.tv/GamertagRadio. All right, Paris, thanks a lot. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.